there's still time. The week is young, Tim.
You're in for a treat.
But, you know, I'm allergic to everything on the face of the earth.
All right. Okay. Howdy, kids. Thank you for coming along. It's 31 seconds after the hour 12 in this, the month of August in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Let me give you this, the phone number as we begin today's program. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email, you can do that as well. You can engage with us. It's one of those days where my mouth feels all loose. You can do that as well. You can do that as well, and so forth. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. We were just ruminating as the program, as we often are. As the theme music was starting, we were talking about the fact that it's been a bit of a day here at AM 970. Here at CBS Radio Portland, it's been a difficult morning on many fronts. I know that this morning we were missing at least two engineers, quite possibly three. One of them due to strep throat. And so we were talking about the fact that, because I was trying to get something done with one of the phone lines this morning, and I realized that Will, who was the man with the plan and the four-door sedan for all of that stuff, Will wasn't actually here. And so then I came into the studio, and Sarah, as she was just doing just now, Sarah rubbing her hands together and then, like, blowing into her cupped fists for warmth.
Seriously, do I have any color in my lips right now?
No.
I'm freezing.
You are the color of porcelain. You're going to be like that guy, Beck Weathers, on Mount Everest, where his face turned all black. And they're going to have to make a new nose out of your ass.
I thought it was your ears.
I suppose that might work, too. That's not nearly as funny now, is it? Well, about the comedy here. You got to sacrifice logic for amusement sometimes. So Sarah is rubbing her hands together, putting on a sweater here in the studio. The same sweater that, like, 8 days ago was about 140 degrees and was so warm and humid that it was like taking
a... The studio.
It was like a... What did I say?
Sweater.
Sweater. Sarah's sweater is so warm and humid.
It did sound pretty weird.
But it was all hot in here. It was like a steamer. It was like taking a schwitz with the Rat Pack. The studio is now so cold, Tim Riley is huddled over for warmth, caveman style. And Sarah said, where is Will the engineer? And I said, well, Will is home with strep throat today. Which is strange because Will is, I would say, 30s? Mid to late 30s, probably?
At least.
I'd say mid-30s.
I'd say Will is in his mid-30s. Usually the time by which you have had strep throat and that it's gone. Because I believe that strep throat, and I may be wrong about this, but I believe strep throat is one of those things like chicken pox or being hit by a train. That you can only, like, it happens once and then it most likely doesn't happen again. And so we were going around the room asking who here has had strep throat. Sarah, you have had strep throat.
Yep, I had it in 2002.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That was when you were here on the show, wasn't it?
Well, no, it was when I was still in college. No, 2001, because it was right after my 21st birthday.
Okay, so you're still a relatively young woman.
Yeah.
You still had your youth at that point, and you still had hope.
It was terrible. It was the most painful experience.
Did you get mono along with your strep throat?
No,
because sometimes one comes on the heels of the other.
No, I didn't get mono, but I had a really bad case of strep throat. We had to go on all those antibiotics, and it was just bad.
The worst part about getting mono, and just the fact that you can't move for like 3 weeks, is that everybody and their brother has to make stupid kissing disease jokes. Because it's, you know, because the deal is it's commonly spread through mouth-to-mouth contact and blah, 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 blah. And so it's the kissing disease.
It's
and
a really cool thing if you're a teenager, though.
Yeah, and totally. You get the whole, who have you been kissing? Ha, ha, ha. You know, and it's, which is especially, like, I had it when I was, like, 15, 14, bad acne, thick glasses, greasy hair, not unlike now, and just clearly a boy that no one was kissing at all. There was no kissing happening in my life, and that's the worst part. The worst part about having mono when you're a teenager is if people come by and they give you the kissing disease jokes when it's clear that you are kissing no one. It's clear that there is no kissing of any kind happening in your life. It's like salespeople who call you big guy. When clearly they don't even know who you are. That's exactly what it is. Let's find out about Scotty J. Scotty J, please be coming in. Have you had strep? All right, and mono? Okay, all right.
I mean, he comes in contact with the grid and watch more than we do. due to his mobile DJ business.
Scotty J has had strep throat. I have had strep throat. Tim Riley?
No.
There you go. Uh-oh. The next great Rick Emerson story arc begins. It's 503-733-2970. You can almost... I sound like Lycus. 503.
By the end of the show, I'm going to start coming down with the symptoms.
That's exactly what it'll be.
You're going to become paranoid and make yourself get sick.
Mm-hmm. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Oh, wait a minute. Scotty J...
What's Sorry. Happening to your throat?
My voice is all scratchy now.
Uh-oh. And you're only like a foot from me.
Scotty J is noting on the screen. Scotty J is claiming on the screen now, no, you can get it all the time. Strep is contagious.
There you go.
Is not a one-time disease. There you go. You just suck on that one. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email it's rick@rickemerson.com. We will get with the teasing momentarily. Let us now welcome, let me see if I'm finding it. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Let's welcome Mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
All right. You probably get sick all the time because you probably go door to door and then there's a bunch of house frows that come out to get their mail from you because it's the only human non-baby contact they get all day.
I do get in contact with the great unwashed.
Do you, let me ask
old
you
the, people waiting on the steps for the mail, seeing what all the neighbors get.
You get a lot of toothless elderly people sitting in their front porch whittling a stick waiting for the postman to come by and the ice truck and so forth.
In my area over here by the freeway, more than you can imagine.
A lot of old guys standing there with a garden hose watering the dirt for no reason. Yeah, good times. Waiting for like a Sears Roebuck catalog to come by so they can look at exciting new wheelbarrows and so forth.
Or the Victoria's Secret.
Exactly. So they can see if the neighbors are getting any suspicious packages in the mail. All right, here is, thanks for coming down to Dante's last night, by the way. Do we all hate Dave Navarro's friggin' ass or what?
Even my mom hates him.
Oh, man.
We wish he would die.
You...
I second that.
It really
that.
Is true.
Uh-huh.
No, and sometimes we say
and
that figuratively.
Will, soon enough.
That was creepy.
I'm sorry. If he keeps getting kicked out of the mansion for leaving, like, syringes laying around everywhere, that guy's just seconds away from offing himself.
Strep will be the least of his problems.
Did you guys listen to Lycus on Friday? He was at the mansion on Friday.
He was at the mansion because I know he actually had to write, he wrote a long letter to Hefner to get, like Johnny Drama, to get the ban lifted. I know we were talking about how Dave Navarro was banned from the Playboy Mansion, which is true, because he had taken a... He'd taken a room down there, and he had left it littered with dirty needles because he was busy chasing the dragon, as they say. And but he had to write a whole long letter of apology to Hugh Hefner. He went and pled his case to Hefner. I guess the ban got lifted. He was on Lycus' show on Friday. But here's the thing. Sometimes we say figuratively on this program that we hope people die, or we say it's just sort of a wacky passing metaphor, a figure of speech, or zany hyperbole. No, in this case, we are praying for the death of Dave Navarro.
Mercy. Not tonight.
Not tonight, Chancellor. No, it's not. It's Bishop or whatever the guy's name is. Yeah, fantastic. All right, here's what we're going to get to today. Today we will have our rock star recap with Kristen from accounting. That's coming up at 1 o'clock today. We will, without fail, do the top five. Top five rock and roll screams. We will have an encore presentation of the week in Geek. Let's see. We have Ninette Sosa, who's going to be talking to us from Israel. We will be talking to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. And today, I have found the mechanism. I have found the device. I have found the avenue by which we will give away tickets to see Snakes on an MF'n plane. We are going to be giving away Snakes on an MF'n plane tickets today.
We're really going to be kicking some ass, aren't we?
Did you really just say kicking some ass?
I waited all morning to say that line.
That's way old, and I wasn't even prepared for the... thank you. See, I was... did you come up with that yourself, or did you see that somewhere and file it away in the list of witticisms you had to use?
I'm not sure if I made it up myself or heard it somewhere else.
Okay. I can't think of another snake pun. Hold on. Kicking some asp, and then the, No, I can't, I can't think of anything else. And I'm having trouble speaking. I've come down with cotton mouth. Hello.
Oh, that was bad.
That's where we're going to get. We will be giving away tickets to Snakes on an MFing plane today. Do you have all of that, Mailman Chris?
I do. I got the Rockstar Recap, the top five rock and roll screams, the Weekend Geek Replay, Nanette Sosa, Jim Roop, and the Snakes on an MFing plane ticket giveaway.
It's absolutely true. And we will check in with you at the end of today's program. I'm where on the push-up tally right now?
You are still at 46 after right, 3 days.
46 and holding after today, 45. All right. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Hey, by the way, how many votes did you get last night?
For Storm, I figured, here's the deal, is that we'll talk more about this in the Rockstar Recap, but we might as well just give a little overview today.
She wasn't that bad.
She wasn't that bad. Not her best performance, but again, I think part of that is the song. It's like, how good can you really be when you're singing an overplayed Gloria Gaynor song? At this point, to me, it really is like singing Satisfaction by the Stones or something. It's like, how interesting can that possibly be? I voted a couple times there on my phone, and then, I went home and I found out that if you have like an MSN Messenger, you know, or whatever on the page, you can just vote over and over and over and over again really quickly. So I voted, I don't know, a couple dozen times last night because I feel like that's going to be really important as the weeks go on, I think, as the field winnows. And I do believe, now I heard from a guy who knows a guy at MSN, and he says, the guy at MSN says that the votes for Storm, there haven't been very many of them. People haven't really been voting for her, by which he means not that people don't support her, but just that she's been knocking it out of the park every week, and so people haven't really felt compelled to really throw their support because she hasn't seemed like she needed it. So, but last night was the first night that she could conceivably have started to, you know, end up in the bottom three. So I did vote many times last night. So
I threw her about 400 votes when I got home last night.
Fantastic. All right, thank you, sir.
Talk to you.
All right, there you go. That is Mailman Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk.
We didn't tease it.
You didn't even introduce us.
The mono bet had ended, and I was just going to try to cover that glitch by going right to Tim.
Let's say hello to Sarah Dillon, shall we?
This is going to be the best show ever right here. Hi, Sarah. How are you doing today?
Hello.
Yeah, okay.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm okay.
What stories are we covering today?
I don't know, Tim Riley. What stories? You're doing my tease for me. This is like in Heather's. When Christian Slater is talking to his dad, and hi, why don't you introduce your new friend to me? No, thanks, Dad. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today. For notification.
There's a crazy woman running around the plane with Vaseline. Turned out to be a fake story. There are broken arms and hearts as two children are injured on a Clark County carnival ride.
Fantastic.
Popsicle-making equipment has been stolen in Clark County. A Florida man nearly gouges another man's eyes out while shouting, die, die, die.
Genius! That is all ye know, and all ye need know. By the way, speaking of Rockstar Recap, we should talk about this tomorrow on this very fine radio program, because we are the greatest goddamn thing you ever heard. Tomorrow we will be having on this radio program Nate Morton. Who is Nate Morton, you might ask? The answer to that is he is the drummer for Rockstar Supernova's house band. A lot of people have talked about the house band and how great they are. And, I mean, people from day one have said, like, regardless of whatever performance has happened, that the house band is fantastic. And this is not one of those interviews where it's like the publicist calls somebody or you get, like, a generic fax saying, would you like to? This is a thing that just kind of fell into our laps. I was talking to my good friend Michael Vaughn. And Michael Vaughn was one of the voice actors for Bigger Than Jesus and blah, blah, blah. So I ran into him the other night at Dante's. We're talking. And he goes, hey, by the way, a friend of mine drums for this band, Nate Morton. We go way back. I'm like, really? You got to hook us up. Next thing I know, I get an email from the drummer in the Supernova house band. He's like, hey, would you like to have me on the show? You know, if Michael, send me your way. I'd love to be on. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow. We'll find out kind of what it's like to be in the Supernova house band, because those guys are really fantastic. Coming up today, Snakes on an MF and plane tickets. We will talk about last night, not only the Rockstar Supernova episode itself, but also last night at Dante's, which was, I mean, it was an ugly turn of events last night. The crowd did not deal well at all with the way that Storm sort of got roundly panned by the judges. And I got all kinds of conspiracies about that. So we'll get to that at 1 o'clock. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting our top story.
The woman allegedly responsible for diverting a United Airlines flight this morning has been arrested. The flight from London to Washington had to be diverted to Boston after the 60-year-old woman reportedly suffered from an anxiety attack and became disruptive.
This is cut number one.
Mm-hmm.
In a system where you have no resources on the airplane to deal with it, overreaction is the word of the day.
Now, police and security officials say there was no apparent terror threat, as reported on CNN. Meanwhile, federal authorities are denying reports that the woman had in her possession a screwdriver, Vaseline, and a note about Al-Qaeda.
And a
it
what?
Sounds like a scavenger hunt, doesn't it? A screwdriver, Vaseline, and a note from Al-Qaeda.
What would the note from Al-Qaeda... What would the note from... Let me ask
Don't
you
Don't forget
this.
The Vaseline. No.
Dear store owner, these cigarettes are for me. I am a 65-year-old woman. Pleased to be giving my daughter some smokes.
So then, as the story picked up steam, this woman apparently was tied up during the flight because she had Vaseline.
Are you just trying to rhyme, or is it just happening naturally today?
No, it's happening. I'm just relaying what I was watching on television on CNN this morning.
Okay. You don't even want to know about the terrifying strep throat emails that I'm getting here.
Oh, I do.
You do, really? Do you want to know?
I do, yes.
Who wants to hear some exciting strep throat emails?
I do.
All right. Let's see, because our engineer Will across the hall, gone with the strep. How about this? This is from Marianne Rambo. I get it. I want to have a sounder. Scotty, not really.
She's a no-nonsense person.
How great is it if your name is Marianne Rambo?
Don't mess with her.
I mean, I don't know if she married a guy whose name was blah, blah, blah Rambo, or if that's her maiden name and she kept it. I know it is her real name, though, because I've asked her about it. If you are a man and you marry her, you got to take that name. She's not taking anything. You're changing your name to Rambo. What I wouldn't give to be Richard Rambo. Marianne Rambo says, strep, I get it a couple times a year. It really sucks. You're not immune if you've had it. Go wash your hands. And this is, of course, the day that we're out of that sanitizing gel.
Well, we can't use it anyway.
I use it constantly. I am... here's how much I use that sanitizing gel. This is an awkward conversation, but I'm just saying, here's how often. Because we had the big bottle of sanitizing gel, and you know what I'm talking about. That it's like a gelatinous goo that you squeeze out, and then it's like an alcohol kind of a thing. We had the big bottle in the bathroom. It ran out, and I'm so anal retentive about that I actually went and got the private bottle that I keep on my desk in my office and moved it into the bathroom so that we would not be out of sanitizing hand gel. But now that's gone. Now that's gone. Where is your gel now? How about this? Well, this one's good. About strep. Attention, Sarah Dillon. You can get it over and over and over again. If you don't treat it, it becomes rheumatic fever. Hey, who has the tonsils?
Me.
You have your tonsils?
Mm-hmm.
People with tonsils get it more often than people who don't have tonsils.
How about that?
I have my tonsils as well. How about this? About strep. You can get it any time, multiple times, and a bad strain will wipe out your kidney functioning. Ah, good times.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Kara. That's from our good friend Kara. Hey, is it Marianne Rambo? Really? Okay, that's not somebody screwing with us claiming to be Marianne Rambo.
Better take her call right away.
Hello, Marianne Rambo.
It really is.
All right, this is a quiz. What is the last name of your business? The word
sports?
the last word in your business, sports. Okay,
sports?
Yes. Okay, that
yes.
is then it is you because I know your email address well.
All right. Yeah, I email you too many damn times, and that's the other reason I put my last name on the emails is because you seem so happy about it.
It's the best name ever. Are you aware of how great it is that you are a woman named Marianne Rambo?
I married a guy whose last name is Rambo.
Oh, okay. So it did come from him. Now, what is his name?
His name is Jay Rambo, and now he's going to clobber me probably.
Is it Jay? J as in J A Y.
Yes.
All right. That's still kind of a manly name. He sounds like a really manly, like a really angry fashion designer with a headband and a knife.
Oh, is that what he said? Okay. I'll tell him that. He'll be very excited to
All
hear
right.
that.
How can I help you today?
I just was calling you because you were talking about me. So
oh, well, there you go. So you've just called so I can tell you what a great name you have. Have you had strep recently?
Not for about 6 months.
All right. Now we're all... Is everybody in the room now suddenly feeling like they have the symptoms?
Yes.
Everybody in the room suddenly feels like they're about to die. No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. All right, Marianne Rambo, God bless you. Can I ask... I may have asked this before. What celebrity you most closely resemble?
I don't want to say.
What is it? Is it Harvey Fierstein or?
No, I'm just a really big girl.
No, there's just more of you to love. Be Arthur.
I don't know. I don't really compare myself to celebrities. I am so completely unique.
Fantastic. That's what I always say about myself, too. I've got a unique look. It's a look that works. It's a niche look for me.
And I have pink hair at the moment. So
and pink hair?
Yes.
Well, you've already earned points with us there.
Woohoo!
So. All right. Thank you, Marianne.
Bye, Rick.
All right. There you go. Marianne Rambo, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, this email says, Sarah can even get strep throat from all the underwear her roommates have touched while they were at home with strep throat. And then he signs it, sexy strep. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970.
I stayed the night over at Nate's house last night, and then I came home, and my house was trashed today, and there's some girl's clothes in my living room. And a bicycle there.
Really?
Yeah.
So Manuel was...
I don't think it was Manuel. I think it was my other roommate.
No, and your other roommate's name is what?
I heard music inexplicably coming from there, 9 o'clock
was it
in the morning.
Was it a lot of Leonard Cohen? Did you walk in the house and there's...
Was the air conditioner missing?
Did you walk in the house and you just hear the
sound of a bird in a wire? I'm usually the one with my friends that kind of, trashes it and I'll get up and clean it up. But it was ridiculous. Never mind, I was just going
to
say something.
No, you have to...
There's
a giant what?
Centipede.
Vaseline?
No, a giant like
screwdriver?
Squash thing.
A giant swash?
Squash?
Thing. Squash?
A zucchini, whatever like that big vegetable is.
That does sound wrong.
I know. In the middle of the living room with a bunch of clothes and beer bottles and a baby Ruth wrapper. Yeah.
What kind of a house do you live in?
Maybe it's a souvenir from a trip to the country.
So you came home.
I came home and there's, so this,
girls' clothing spread everywhere, music coming out of your roommate's bedroom, and a squash on the floor in the living room.
No, it was like, what was weird though is that it was a whole squash yesterday, and now it's like half eaten.
You hope it's eaten. I'm saying the rest of it might have just been, carried away by fruit flies.
Like huge. I don't know what kind of vegetable it was.
Maybe he's dating Jessica Simpson.
Maybe he's a farmer.
Okay.
They may have come back from the zucchini festival, for all you know.
Is that what they're calling it?
Is that what they're calling it now? Yeah. The kids are calling it a zucchini festival.
Maybe that's what was at my house last night.
That's what the jelly bracelet gets you these days. Good for one entrance to the zucchini festival. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about the children, shall we?
I think we just were.
Oh,
okay. Moving on.
These are younger ones. Two middle schoolers are recovering at home after they reportedly broke their arms while riding on a carnival ride called the Tornado.
Oh, that's fantastic. But this is in Vancouver?
Uh-huh.
I love it when the hopes and dreams of children are broken.
13-year-old Galen Becker and her brother, 12-year-old John, were released from the hospital around midnight. The fair's executive director, Tom Musser, says it's the first accident of its kind on the Tornado, as far as their paperwork can tell.
Yes, as far as any court deposition will reflect.
Somehow the children got their arms tangled together.
Oh, now wait, what is the Tornado? Is this like the Roundup?
I don't know.
Who knows what the tornado... Someone from Vancouver.
The picture is just showing a speeding ambulance, so we don't have a picture of the tornado.
That's the ride.
Yeah.
They've just skipped the middleman, and the ride now just is getting in the ambulance and going to the hospital. That's the newest ride at the Clark County Fair. The speeding gurney. okay, so... genius. It's like the new ride is just a guy with a hammer who hits you in the face and then takes you to the hospital.
Well,
it costs 5 tickets, though. If you please now, if you live in Vancouver or if you are familiar, if you've gone to the Clark County Fair and you are not dead and you are still able to operate a phone, perhaps by clutching a stick in your teeth, please now call us at 503-733-2970. We wish to know what a tornado is in terms of the Clark County Fair.
I think it's that ride that spins around and all the nuts and bolts come off it the faster it goes. Well, the father of the children said the operator didn't stop the ride after he yelled, "My children's arms are broken."
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Maybe it sounded like this ride is really smoking or something or...
But where's the ambulance?
Oh, that's the best and worst story ever.
They have a little more news from Vancouver, because we never cover it, really.
We have to break, though.
Okay.
Here's why we have to break, because Nanette Sosa is going to be calling from the Vancouver, the Middle East, which is Israel. So we're going to come back. But we will finish this story. You don't go. Don't get rid of that. The people are calling about
we're
the tornado.
We're going to finish that whole pile today, Mr.
We're
gonna Riley.
Finish, yes, we're going to work our way all the way through your piles today.
All right.
That no
was,
matter how
that
hard
was,
it is.
That was intentional. That was by design. That one.
Even that grossed me out.
It's kind of a single entendre. All right. We're going to do this. We'll come back. We're going to talk about the tornado. Also, Nanette Sosa. Later on, Jim Roop. Rockstar Recap. Worst Song. Week in Geek. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Show. Staccato Phrases. Teasing. Somebody sent me some pictures of strep throat. You don't want to see.
No, I remember what it looked like when I had it.
Alternating shades of red and white.
It's so gross.
Not unlike a barbershop pole.
It just makes you want to rip out your own throat because it's the most disgusting thing you've
totally.
Ever seen.
All right. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Hey, here's a story about strep throat. Rick, true story. My college roommate got strep 2 years ago and did not get it treated. It turned into mono. He eventually went to the hospital, but not soon enough to spare his kidneys, which began to fail. He almost died twice and was bedridden for 5 months. He lost 40 pounds and became white as a ghost. Just thought I'd cheer you up today. There you go. Thank you. Many observations coming in about the Clark County Fair. I don't think I should say who this is from. You will know. Oh, no, Sarah, you'll know who this is from. This is from a friend of the show. She says, my ex used to be the marketing director for the Clark County Fair. A couple years ago, they had this same problem with a ride. Some ride went crazy and injured children. It was a dark, dark time. How about this? Rick, I used to be really good friends with somebody who would run the midway at the fair. I would meet this person down there after it closed and would be treated to an opportunity to, quote, party, quote, end quote, with all the carnies.
Oh.
After, who wants to party with carnies?
That's so scary.
Does a party with carnies sounds like some sort of lame giveaway on a, like an adult contemporary station? Party with carny. That's something the Buzz would do, except it would be Carney Wilson. And it would just be you sitting around and doing something.
I'd go if it was Carney Wilson and a bunch of carnies.
That's a see. Okay, attention, Buzz. That's a give. Does Carney Wilson have a song? Does she do anything now? What does she do? She just sit around and talk about how she used to be fat.
Yeah, totally.
Sits around and looks at things she can't eat. Things that won't fit down her esophagus anymore. You could do a bit. Okay, attention, Buzz. Whoever it is that has a whoever is live over there anymore. Here's your contest: Carney or carnies. And then it would be like. You give some sort of information. Is that Carney Wilson or is it a circus carney? Anyway, he says.
I wish to do that for the snakes on the plane.
Party with carnies. After that, I never set foot on those rides again. Carnies are not to be trusted. As a general rule, the email continues, never let someone missing more teeth than they have left run a dangerous gas-powered apparatus that is capable of killing you, your children, and random passers-by. Carnival rides are death traps, and the people that are running them shouldn't be picking up garbage, let alone throwing levers to the resounding sounds of Back in Black and Enter Sandman. Scary stuff. Be afraid. All right, there you go. Well, speaking of injuries and being afraid, let us... Oh, wait, hold on. I got to see if I can find the... wait. No, this is all me. This is completely on me. I should have been prepared for this. And any second now, any moment, I will have the... The appropriate, wait, there we go, thank you. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, woman of the world, Nanette Sosa. How are you, Nanette?
I'm fine. I found a party.
Did you, are you partying with the many, many carnies on the Israel-Lebanon border?
I am. Well, no, not quite carnies, actually. There's only 1,400 in this whole area.
Excellent. So you got to make your own fun over there.
I do, and then they came, and I had to do laundry, and I found somebody's home where I can do laundry.
Well,
that's how it all started.
Work. I mean, it seems to me like being in that part of the country right now is kind of like it's sort of a Lord of the Flies, The Stand, post-apocalyptic wasteland kind of thing, where pretty much there's large sections of that part of the country and that part of the world right now that are just sort of abandoned. So I mean,
oh, I could not find a laundromat. I will tell you that. So that's why I'm at somebody's home doing laundry.
Is that true? Now, do you knock on the door and say, "Hello, I am from CNN. Please to be letting me do my laundry."
I sat outside the mayor's office, and the mayor was in Jerusalem, and I was sweating, and I thought, well, I'm going to dial this number that's on this door, and some woman answered, and then she became my best friend. And she took me around town today and showed me where the Hezbollah rockets hit and all that kind of good stuff.
You have a very, very odd day-to-day existence, Nanette Sosa.
I really have. I saw the one rocket, the husband stepped through the rocket.
She has to
wake up her husband. The husband runs out saying, the Katusha hit, the Katusha hit. The lady says, no, the Katusha's in our refrigerator in the basement. Now you missed the Katusha. Just like that. That's how the story went down.
Can I just tell you that sometimes I don't understand anything you're talking about, and only about one-third of the story. It's all just such surreal happenings over there. And Katusha is... That's not a type of cheese, right? That is, in fact, a rocket.
Correct.
Yes, just
that's the rocket.
Just,
and she found the rocket wedged between her refrigerator and the washer.
Did it not go?
And then she says, I found her. I guess Katushas are female.
Now, so the rocket landed between the washer and the refrigerator. Did it not go off?
Yes, it did. It was wedged down there in their floor.
But, I mean, did it not do any? It sounds like it would have done a lot of damage, though.
It did.
Okay.
It went through their house.
Ah, okay. All right. So this is...
Well, so then they had to go look for the Hezbollah fluff and fold to do their laundry.
there was... So is this an actual ceasefire that's really happening, or is this a ceasefire sort of in name only, but there's still all of this sporadic violence going on over there?
They're saying ceasefire name only because it's gotten so much attention that the government actually had to say something and do something. They don't buy it. They say along the border that they have always endured shelling. It's nothing new for them that rockets have come across the border. And now because it became, with the kidnapping of the two Israeli soldiers, was the Israeli government forced to pay attention.
So this is...
That's the story. So
when they say that they've stopped the violence, that's sort of like when radio stations constantly say that they've stamped out payola. It's one of those things that I'm sure exists in a manual or a handbook somewhere, but doesn't actually go away.
I agree. Yes, you're right.
Not that I would
go away.
Yeah, not that I would know anything about that. The according to CNN I guess the UN is going to try to hammer out some sort of multinational force or something to be there to help maintain this alleged peace. But when they say multinational force, that's really just code for like us and Britain and like three guys from Canada, right? That's kind of what it always
is. That's about it.
Yeah.
That is your multinational force. And then the Lebanese army today, the Lebanese cabinet was asking. Or it was presented to see if maybe some Hezbollahs wanted to be a part of the Lebanese army to guard the border. Even Hezbollah said, no, thank you.
Yeah, that seems ill-advised.
It's like, what? Who's gonna watch the hen house?
It just seems so... And now, is this... let me ask you this. All of this conflict over there that we've been following with the last, whatever, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it is... is this, when you stand back and take a long look, is this worse than the violence that they've had in that region in general over the last, whatever, 60 years? Or is it just on par with what kind of breaks out over there every couple of years?
It's been worse. This time around, it has been worse. Residents along the border on the Israeli side said it definitely has been worse. One reason is because apparently the guerrillas and the guerrilla group have... apparently some bigger and stronger weapons than they've had in the past.
Here's a question. Do the people in that area, because we've been following this Hezbollah Israel the battle, do the people in that area who are of means, in other words, the people in that area on either side who have any appreciable amount of money, at a certain point, do those guys just pack up and just grab their families and grab a U-Haul and stick all their crap in it and get out?
Yes, they did, but the worker, the breadwinner, stayed behind. So in a town that I went to, like I said, population 1,400, about 1,400, 1,100 left.
So
those were mostly the children and wives. women, husbands and so forth, men stay back.
So this is a lot like every war in that the rich people kind of get out of the line of fire, and it's always the poor and the lower class and the uneducated who stay behind, and they're the ones who get the lumps.
Usually, but people live in what are called kibbutzes and different agricultural settlements together, so they're one for all and all for one. No one does get left behind, actually. It's a unison kind of push.
It's funny, I was talking to Lisa Goddard yesterday because she's just getting ready to undergo all of her combat training.
Yes, she is.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. You hear that live now. How long is the combat training that she's going to go through, and how traumatic is the training itself? Because I know they train her to be kidnapped. They train her to, heal a chest wound or something. How traumatic is the actual training she's going to go through?
It's intense. It really is. It's like being in a war.
Excellent.
It really is. I cannot better describe it. They're British Army.
Yeah.
Special ops kind of guys, and they're rough. And I would tell you what they say, but I can't repeat it.
Fantastic. That's what I want to hear. So we're gonna see if we can just sort of track her mental status as she goes through this. So
she's gonna be wiped.
Excellent. Fantastic. All right.
Quite petite.
Nanette Souza, thank you. You're on the Israel 11 on border. Thank you so much for being on with us. Stay safe. We will talk to you soon, Nanette.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Nanette Souza doing the laundry at somebody's house. On the Israeli Lebanon border.
Between the washer and the dryer.
That was so bizarre. I was trying to understand. Apparently.
Yeah, I didn't really get that.
Well, apparently what happened is, because I guess when we think of bomb, we think of it with our Western eyes. We're just watching.
Like those World War II bombs?
Yeah, where
as big as a whale?
It hits the house and the whole thing is gone. It sounds to me like these bombs don't do, I mean, relatively, you wouldn't be hit with one, I imagine, but relatively speaking, do a limited amount of damage or a finite amount of damage. So it sounds like it blew up part of the house.
Right.
What a bizarre thing. I mean, I just go through that saying, but
they're Russian made. They're the size of a spaghetti colander. They don't have enough materials to make, huge things and drop them out of the sky.
In Russia, the missile manufacturing technique is just sort of like the food technique, which is just water down the soup some more.
But everything they make works when it comes to killing people.
I guess what happens is it hit the house and then it didn't do enough damage that they had to leave us. How bizarre. Look, I live in a bad neighborhood, but if a missile hit my house, I would be moving. The next day, I would be at a Holiday Inn that night, and I would not be going back. I would send for my things, but my wife and the poodle and myself and the TiVo would be gone.
In your neighborhood, it would be the next door neighbor's furniture. Somebody drop a couch and an armchair.
Oh, man. Did I tell you that my landlord discovered that they were, in fact, stealing our toilet paper, my next door neighbors?
What type of punishment is suitable for that?
They already lived in my neighborhood. Where else could you send them that's worse? I guess literally...
St. John's.
You send them to Rikers. Yeah, or St. John's. Where, according to our friend Smokey, everything has a disgusting smell. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
We have a breaking cannibal watch here.
Oh, excellent.
Unadvertised.
Here's your ad hoc cannibal watch for Wednesday.
This comes to us from Eugene. After pleading guilty to sending a threatening letter to a federal judge, a three-time felon serving prison time in Eastern Oregon could spend another decade behind bars. Louis Sine pled guilty yesterday in Eugene. He's 69 years old and faces a maximum of 10 more years.
And this is for what originally?
Let's see here. It doesn't say here.
It's just for me.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
He was convicted originally in 1964 for assault with a deadly weapon, and in 1975 for sodomy and sexual abuse. Also again in 1988.
He's a real winner. Okay.
Anyway, he sent a letter in June to U.S. District Judge Ann Aiken. He wrote, quote, "I would like to cut out your liver and eat it. When and if I ever get out, I am going to kill you," unquote.
Well, you're kind of like a guy that doesn't mince about.
He's serving time at the Snake River Correctional Institute in Ontario, where nothing apparently is being corrected.
Well, I mean, I like the fact that he doesn't feel the need to cloak it in double entendres and sort of, he doesn't feel the need to imply it between the lines. He just comes right out and says what you got to admire a guy who's forward thinking like that and just wants to lay it all out for you. There you go. There's your cannibal watch.
And you can't send it back. Just eat it. Get yourself a
let's see, we never did, well, we had some people who were going to describe the tornado, but I think that we went to the Nanette Sosa thing, and I think we lost the calls. We had this,
what was it, Clark County?
Yes. The tornado broke the arms of several children. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't stop the ride.
No.
That's the best and worst part about it. Is some guy cranked out of his mind on cheap speed down below, turning the thing higher and higher. This email says the tornado was a pretty lame ride. The fact that anybody can get hurt on this ride is laughable. He has sent along a picture of the tornado. Let me look here. This is from clowningaround.com, which is apparently some sort of circus ride. That's the tornado? Oh, that's a sissy ride.
Well, I imagine those cars go up in the air.
Do they?
As it picks up speed.
It's hard to see how you could get your arm broken on this. He says the ride tilts and rotates, and the riders spin the little cars around with wheel in the center. Just goes to show that people need better amusement parks around here to toughen the masses up a little. That's from Eric. This, you know what this looks like? I'm looking at a picture of the tornado here. This looks like that. It looks a little bit like that teacup ride at Disneyland, mm-hmm. except with just normal sort of bucket seats. And I don't think that those necessarily go up. But how would you break your arm on that? I mean, I know that people at home can't see this, but basically what it is, this is three bucket seats mounted around a small metal...
No, Brad the car guy wrote, and he said that they go up and down and around, like they don't just stay level like that.
But it's like, what would you catch your arm on to break it, is what I'm saying. Here's I bet what happened. I bet what happened is...
Is this a frivolous lawsuit?
I'm not saying that somebody's children need to be left behind a year or two. All I'm saying is, it seems to me, because here's what this ride is. Let me describe it for the people at home. Mm-hmm. This ride is a series of pods, let's say, or modules. Each module consists of three bucket seats that are centered, that are around sort of a metal round table in the middle. You know this ride. You get in the chair and you hold onto the thing and you turn on the table and you spin around. Yeah, just like the teacups at Disneyland. And then it goes up and down. But the actual apparatus, the mechanism here in the middle that runs the whole thing, the motor, has a huge wooden, has a huge metal fence around it. And I am betting that as these rides spun and twirled and went up and down and went around in a circle, I'm betting one of the kids reached down and grabbed a hold of the metal fence. I'll guarantee you that's what happened. And I go, you don't want to do that. Because, I mean, when it's your arm against the gigantic mechanism made out of wheels and gears and motors, your arm is going to lose. So I'll guarantee you that's what happened. All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Something else out of Clark County. Rainbow Glacier, a Vancouver popsicle-making company, has been burglarized not once but three times since July 9th of this year. And authorities are investigating the theft of popsicle-making equipment. The thieves have stolen several thousand dollars worth of stainless steel things used to make popsicles from a fenced-off field next to the main building. Some of the equipment stolen include unique-shaped molds used to form popsicles. Authorities say they believe the thieves are selling the stolen equipment as scrap metal, an increasing crime in the Vancouver area.
Why would you possibly sell such a, steal such a thing? What are you going to do with that?
Vancouver.
It is true. That is a kind of a catch-all explanation for everything, that it's just Vancouver. Rick, today on today's show, are you going to be kicking ass and snaking names? All right. Did I hear you referring to making a fake nose out of someone's ass? Would that make you?
Well, it's one of those self-help shows.
How to make a fake nose with items you might find laying around the house? How to make a prosthetic nose from old tin cans and some thread? And did you ever notice when you would read like one of those Holly Homemaker magazines or whatever the hell they were, and it was like crap you can make for your kids if you're white trash and can't afford real plastic toys, and it was all of these sad homemade toys, like these pioneer era toys that they wanted parents to make for their kids if dad was blowing all the money on scratch offs every week, and they always involved little wooden spools, always, every single toy. Doesn't matter what it was. You could be making your child a miniature rocket launcher, and everything involved, like those wooden thread spools. Would that make you a butterface? All right. There you go. Thank you. And so forth. Here's Tim Riley.
A Vietnam veteran who owns a Connecticut package store, which is what they call a liquor store there, is stirring up the wrath of some military groups while getting support from others who are posted in his window. The controversial sign at TJ's package store reads, "Out of work, uneducated, no health plan, join the Army and see Iraq." Local veteran Greg Smith said the poster is disrespectful. He's organized a boycott of the store.
The owner says he's not anti-soldier, just anti-Bush administration war in Iraq.
Which is this cut two. Three two. Or two?
Now, for the last couple of weeks, he's been lying about how much great progress we're making over there, when our own generals and now our foot soldiers are complaining that things are not going well over there.
I love old guys who have to hit everything for emphasis. And let me tell you a few. That's a Rumsfeld. That's what he did. And especially because in my head, it's sort of a cane with an eagle on top of it that he's hitting on a barrel full of nails outside a general store.
Meanwhile, Tony Snow is rejecting speculation that the president has grown frustrated with Iraq's new government or its prime minister.
We don't expect him to be an overnight success in dealing with all these problems.
He won't live that
long. Nobody can be, but the president certainly supports Prime Minister Maliki.
In an unusual lighthearted moment, Snow made an unusual noise as he described the president's approach to serious issues.
The president is somebody who's intensely practical about these things, and not somebody who sits around and goes, meow.
Okay. I have no response to that.
Senator George Allen apologized for the remarks that offended a man of Indian descent who was tracking the Republicans' re-election campaign for Democratic challenger Jim Webb. Apparently, this fellow, S.R. Sadoff, said he felt Allen was singling him out because of his race when the senator called him...
And let's give a welcome to Makaka here. Welcome to America and the real world of Virginia.
Makaka?
Mm-hmm.
Kak.
Sadat, who's of Indian descent, says that although Allen had claimed he didn't know his name, he had in fact been introduced to the senator. Depending on the spelling, Makaka is a monkey in the Eastern Hemisphere. It's also known to be a racial slur in European countries referring to an African immigrant.
Macaque.
Senator Allen has apologized.
All right,
Mark.
There you go. Let's see. What have we got here? Rick, I saw the kids in question on the news this morning saying they got their arms tangled together while spinning the module. There's certain things in this world that you really have to... It's like if you want to injure yourself with certain items, you really have to actively work at it. There's stuff that you really have to sit down and spend a good solid day or two thinking about how it is that you're going to injure yourself. And this tornado ride seems to be one of those. Here's Tim Riley.
Time now for the religious nutcase. Watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Wednesday on this, the Rick Emerson radio program.
The former executive director of the Oregon Christian Coalition and former chair of the Multnomah County Republican Party confessed to police that he has sexually touched underage girls, including a young sister-in-law, according to the Gresham Police Report, September 13, 2005.
Hard to believe.
At the time, Barris publicly denied any criminal conduct and told the Oregonian, "I never molested anyone." But the police report by Gresham Detective Lee Gossman and Mike McGowan, who did not return a call on Tuesday, say Barris admitted on September 28, 2005, that he had sinned in the past. He attributed his behavior to experiencing a great deal of stress at the time.
Yes, that's what I always find. Whenever I have a stressful day at work or whenever things are just feeling a little bit too tense at the office, I find that committing multiple felonies always relieves that at the end of the night.
He says he was millions of dollars in debt and faced bankruptcy. The report also stated Barris frequently confessed to Detective McGowan over the phone on October 7th, admitting that he had sexually touched his sister-in-law in the 1960s when she was a teen, and two friends of his daughters. One incident was in 1976 or 77, according to the report. The other unspecified. According to the Gresham Police report, Jonas was 6 years old when her sister married Barris in the 1950s. And she babysat the Barris' children as a teenager. She recalls an incident where she was sleeping on the couch at the Barris' home when Lou Barris came into the living room in his underwear and began to kiss her on the mouth and lick her all over. Touched her sexually.
Oh, good God almighty. That Christian Coalition that whole thing imploded like a bad flan.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ralph Reed was the national head, right?
Yeah.
When he was based in Georgia. And then he got caught up in that Abramoff scandal. And now this thing, that whole organization just slowly collapsed like a bad cake on a winter's day. So, there you go. Former head of Oregon Christian Coalition. Touch his children. Amen. This email just says, Viper, I hardly knew her. But all right, we should take a break here. It's 503-733-2. Thank you. Looking for a graceful out there. 503-733-2970. When we come back, we got the Rockstar Recap around the corner. We will talk about Dave Navarro, who is an ass. What else? Kristen from accounting will be joining us later on. Jen Lane will be here. Top five rock and roll screams. Worst song you've ever heard. Week in Geek, Jim Roop. And we will be giving away tickets to Snakes on an MF and Play On. You stay there. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Here's the Drive-By Truckers. Well,